Now, if we could just get the PowerPoint up here, please. There's a lovely picture of me and my son, and me thinking, which is a good thing to do, isn't it? Now, if we get up there, please. Now, this is how I see Cornerstone Church. Okay? How do I see Cornerstone Church? Next slide, please. I'm going to start reading some things. I'm going to read them slowly. I'm going to read them clearly. And I believe the Spirit of God is just going to seep something into our spirits today. I really believe that. How do I see Cornerstone Church? I see a church where people have a heart for magnifying the Lord. I see a church where every time we come together corporately, we come together to worship the Lord. I see a worship team. That is a team. They are on the stage primarily to worship Him and Him alone, writing, producing, and singing songs that enable those in the church to touch heaven and change earth. I see a worship team that will be well known for its anointing to lead people into the presence of God week in, week out, both here in Epping and in other places they will be invited to. Because of what they do, the scripture, Psalm 122 verse 1, will be what happens every time we come together. And that scripture is, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. We're going to be glad to come to church on Sunday mornings. Amen? Because of what God's doing. But I also see a church who worships the Lord, not just when we come together corporately. I see a company of people worshiping the Lord individually. I see people who are out there in their schools, in their TAFE colleges, in their universities, in their jobs, in their businesses, mothers at home taking care of their children who are thriving because of their understanding of what worship is. According to Mark 12:30, where it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. As a result, everything they do is done unto the Lord. And I see a church full of people who worship God inside church, but also outside of church through everything they do. I see a church, next slide. I see a church where people have a heart for meeting together. I see a company of people who have a heart for God, but they also have a heart for each other. Based on the scripture, Mark 12:31. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there is no other commandment greater than these. I see a church that in spite of their commitments to family, to work, and their community, they still prioritize the importance of meeting together, not just on Sunday, but during the week as well. I see a church where people are meeting together in small groups. Some groups will meet for Bible study. Some groups will meet to give practical support to each other. Some groups will meet because they are part of a team running a ministry. Some groups will meet based on gender or age, such as men's and women's groups, the pensioners group. I shouldn't call it the pensioners group, I know. Maybe we'll call it mature. Maybe call it the retreads or something like that. But refired. But the groups will meet together because like the church in Jerusalem, we realize there is strength to be gained from meeting together frequently. Isn't that right? I see our church as a place where people will be nurtured and will grow because of their commitment to their small group. I see our church facilitating a network of small groups that will be a tool, not just for discipleship, but also for evangelism, where people who normally wouldn't come to a service like this will come to a small group meeting where they will find love, encouragement, and purpose through the fellowship they receive in one of these small groups they've committed themselves to. This is what else I see. Next slide. I see a church where people have a heart for multiplication of their gifts and talents. Our church is going to be a place where people will be enabled and encouraged to do all and to be all they are called to be in God. I see people in our church doing well in ministry. I see people in our church doing well in their jobs. I see people in our church doing well in their careers. I see people in our church doing well with their business. I see people in our church doing well in their pursuit of education. I see people in our church doing well in the pursuit of learning a trade. I see people in our church doing well in their roles of parents and grandparents. I see people in our church not being burdened by the dangers of fear, doubt, drugs, and depression, because the input they receive from this church will enable them to overcome their fears, to be replaced with the spirit of faith, and they won't be scared to get up and have a go. Amen? I've got one person on side with me this morning. That's good. I see a company of people who succeed in life, both inside and outside of church, because they have been empowered with godly wisdom that enables them to be good stewards of the gifts, talents, and resources God has blessed them with. I see people in our church being blessed financially because they are applying godly wisdom to their money, enabling it to be increased due to the godly wisdom they are applying to their resources or supernaturally stretched. Amen. I see people in our church being blessed in their relationships because they are applying godly wisdom, amen, to the relationships God has blessed them with. They see their relationships as something God has blessed them with, and as a result, they are stewards of that blessing. Amen? I see people who are able to thrive and develop when they are confronted with tribulations, because they are hanging on to the promise that Jesus gave us in John 16:33. I have spoken these things to you, that you might have peace in me. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Isn't that good? That's what I believe our church can be like. Next slide, please. I see a church where people have a heart for ministry. I see a church where people will realize that part of their destiny is to serve their fellow believers within the framework of a church. I see a company of people with a heart to discover what their place is in serving the body of Christ and doing it diligently. I see a company of people whom God will speak to either start a new ministry or to contribute to an existing one. I see a company of people who love their church so much that they will come to the leadership and volunteer to fulfill a need God has spoken to them about, because in our church there is an atmosphere conducive not just for seeking God, but also for serving Him. Amen? I see a church where there will be no lack amongst our members, because God will speak to some who have to go and help those who haven't. I see a company of believers who will go out of their way to mow a fellow believer's lawn because the Spirit of God has told them to do it. I see a company of believers who will go out of their way to pick up someone for church because the Spirit of God has put it on their heart to do so. I see a company of believers who will go out of their way to visit someone during the week because the Spirit of God has put it on their heart to do so. I see a company of people, and I hope this happens very, very soon. I see a company of people who will invite someone home for lunch because the Spirit of God has put it on their heart to do so. Isn't that right? I see a company of people who will have a heart to serve their fellow believer, and they will do it with diligence because they love their neighbor as themselves. Amen? Next slide, please. I see a church where people have a heart for mission. I see a church where people have a heart not only for the saved, but also for the lost. I see a church that has a strong missions focus. I see a church that has so much finance coming into its missions budget that we will have more than enough to support the missionaries and the other ministries that we are going to be in partnership with. I see a church that has discernment to support where God is moving, and divine appointments will be given to us to partner with ministries with whom we have a kindred spirit. I see this church partnering with its members and sending them out on short-term missions trips. I see members of our church volunteering, putting their hand up to go to places overseas where we have partners serving to assist them with their work with the gifts and talents God has blessed them with. I see this church giving training to members of our church so they can go out and effectively serve overseas in a short-term capacity. I see our church partnering with its members, enabling them to reach out to people in their sphere of influence, helping them to both evangelize and disciple those who they have relationships with outside of our church. I see this church enabling its members to see their jobs, businesses, careers, schools, families, and leisure pursuits not as something they do, but as something they are called to do. I see this church partnering with its members every day by praying with them and equipping them to be salt and light to people they mix with every day. And people in our church will have a heart for lost people they come in contact with. And this church will partner with its members to reach the lost. Next slide, please. This is the church that I see. Amen. Cornerstone AOG Church, a missions-minded church with a heart for Epping and beyond. Now, as long as I'm here, that's what we're going to be doing. Amen. It's a good church. I make no apologies. Some people think I'm copying from someone else. I'm not. The vision is based on the great commandment to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And it's based on the Great Commission, amen, which is to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to be with you always, till the ends of the earth, amen. We're a church that has a love for the Lord. We have a church who has a love for each other, but we're also a church who has a love for the lost, amen. Those three things, that's easy, isn't it? It's easy. That's the church I see. I really do. I've been thinking about it for a long, long time. And as a pastor here, I've got to make sure that I prioritize not just you lot, but I make sure I prioritize the people out there as well, that we're reaching people outside of the church for the Lord. That's what we've got to be doing. Isn't that right? Now something else I've been thinking about for a while. This could be a really short message. Who said amen? Okay. But it's something that's been on my heart for a long time, and I'm just going to share it with you today. I've shared nothing. I've maybe given little bits of info to different people from time to time, but this is corporate, first time everyone's on the same page. And this is the idea that I have in order to how we can help to fulfill this vision. And it's the idea of membership. The idea of membership. Thank you. You're on the ball, Steve. Thank you very much. Okay. Now, this thing of membership, this word member, it's not written very much in the Bible. The Bible doesn't talk about it very much, but it does mention it. But in the five areas that I've just talked about, which was to magnify and to meet and to thank you, Pierre, and to no looking around the corner, Junior, and to minister and to do mission. Thank you. I've only been saying it for the last year or so, okay? I'm glad we're slowly starting to get it. I think one of the things that enables us to do all those things and to fulfill this vision that I've put in my heart, that God has put in my heart, is that, you know, we're going to be members. Because, you know, you magnify God by being a member somewhere. I don't know if you realize this, but heaven is going to be a big city. And heaven is a place where it talks all about, there's a big crowd of people. Revelation 7 verse 9, it talks all about how countless multitude, they're worshipping God, and what are they doing it? They're doing it together. Isn't that right? They're not in a little cloud somewhere, in the little mansion tucked away somewhere, worshipping God by themselves, but they're doing it in a big group. Amen? You worship God better when you do it, when you're part of something else. You meet up with other believers by being a member somewhere. Now it says in Acts chapter 2 verse 42, it says, there were 3,000 people, they got saved, and it says, and afterwards they were continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. They were meeting up on a regular basis, breaking bread, having community and praying for each other. And one of the reasons why the Jerusalem church was so strong straight away was because the new Christians joined up with the local church and they continued because they made a commitment to meet up with each other on a regular basis. Now here's another one. You multiply your gifts and talents by being a member somewhere. Who remembers? Well, I'm sure you don't remember, but you got to forgive me for this example. But there's a guy, he went over to America recently, and he's playing for the San Francisco 49ers. Now, for some of you, that may mean nothing. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Jill. That's the one. Yeah, I just The name was just on the tip of my tongue, but I've got it now. Jared Hain. You don't know that guy, okay? You can be educated, okay? Now, I want to give Jared Hain a rap today, because we all know what he's done, but one of the reasons why I believe he's succeeding over there is because, in spite of him going to another country and pursuing his dream, he has still maintained a connection with his local church. Amen? There was when they had the Hillsong Conference in July, one of the things that I noticed was that he actually flew back to spend a week in Australia because his church had a conference on. So there was still that, he's out there doing his thing, you know, multiplying his gifts and talents, but there's still a connection to the church that he has, to his home church. And all of you people, you are an awesome bunch of people. Let me say this again. You are an awesome bunch of people. Now, you can say amen if you want to, okay? But you can agree with me or disagree with me, but you are an awesome bunch of people, and there's so much power, there's so much talent in this room, there's so many gifts, natural talents in this room, that it just blows my mind, okay? I'm just talking about Adrian individually, okay? There's a lot of good stuff in this room. And one of the reasons I really believe that you enhance your talents, one of the reasons that enables you to multiply your talents, is that you're doing it with a connection to the church. I really believe when the master sent the three servants out to multiply what they've been given, Matthew 25, there was still a connection with home base, wasn't there? Because they were doing it for the master, they were doing it for the Lord. And they came back, and there was a win-win situation, because those who multiplied, they entered into the joy of the Lord, didn't they, afterwards? But the one who didn't, he decided to sit on what he had, he didn't receive joy at all, did he? So there is a connection, I really believe, with being a part of something bigger than yourself, even if you're out there doing what God has called you to do out there in the marketplace. Here's something else I want to say. You do ministry by being a member, that's obvious. Amen. There's a story in Exodus 25 verse 2. It says, "Speak to the sons of Israel, that they bring me an offering. And you shall take an offering from the every man who gives it willingly with his heart." Now these people who God said to bring an offering, they were loaded. They were the children of Israel, and they left Egypt with their pockets full. Because the Egyptians, because God had told the Egyptians, they gave the Israelites like gold and silver and precious metal, precious cloth, all these things. And here they were out in the desert with all this stuff they'd been given by the world. Then God says to the people of Israel, bring me an offering. Why did God enable all these people to be blessed with all the stuff they had? Because God wanted to build a place where his presence would be dwelt, where his presence would be housed. And every time you bring an offering to the church, through bringing your tithes, through bringing your talents and whatever else, amen, you're building a place for God to dwell, aren't you? And you're a part of something big. You're a part of something big. So hear an amen to that. Just one thing. Now, you do mission by being a member. Now, you could say Paul and Barnabas were in that category. They were sent, and because they maintained the connection with the Antioch church, God blessed their ministry. I was in a conference once, and Brian Houston was speaking. And I was a missionary 12,000 miles away from Australia doing my thing with my wife. And we were asked to come back to a conference. So we came back, and Brian Houston was the guest speaker. He was supposed to be speaking into the lives of all these missionaries who are doing some great things for God all over the world. And he gets up there and he says one thing. He says, I'll never forget it. He says, if you don't allow your connection with your church to be diminished by distance. That makes sense? Don't allow your connection to your local church be diminished by distance. And I thought, well, even though I was over there, you know, on the other side of the world, there was always going to be a connection between this church and me over there, because this is my home church. And because the connection was still there, I mean, wherever we may end up, amen, there's still going to be a connection, because that's what people do. Amen. You do mission, but you remember as well. And you're a better missionary, you're a better person reaching out to the lost when you maintain the connection with the local church. Is that making sense this morning? I really believe it is. Now, there's something else I want to say this morning. Distance from home should never diminish the connection we have with home. Now, as I said, I've been thinking about membership for a long time, and whether to call it membership or partnership or whatever, but I've been thinking about it for the moment, and well, for the last couple of months actually. And I've been thinking about, you know, we've never really had members in this church before. Now, I've been doing a bit of study on how different churches do membership, and I read there's a big church over in California. It's called Saddleback Church because it's in a place called Saddleback, and that makes sense, doesn't it? Now, they actually, when they're a church of about, I don't know, thousands of people, and the senior pastor is Rick Warren. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he's quite a famous figure in Christianity. And apparently, when you become a member of their church, you have to sign a quite an extensive document promising you're going to do this, that, the other, and you sign it, and that's how you become a member. Now, I was talking to, we had a meeting here a couple of weeks ago with Pastor John Canone, and I asked him just out of interest. I went out to his church yesterday, and he's building he's extending his auditorium to seat 1,000 people, and I said, well, he must be doing something right. How do you define a member in your church, John? And typical Hawkesbury, you know, explanation, he says, oh, we don't have members. We have an email list. And all we do, if somebody wants to join up with our church, they just send us their contact details, and that makes them a member. So you've got one extreme over there that's saying you've got to sign a 10-page document saying if you agree to this condition, that condition, and that condition, you become a member. Then you go the other extreme over there, just give us your email address, and that makes you a member in another church. And I thought, well, you know, it's funny because what does the Bible say about membership? Because different churches tend to define membership through different means, don't they? But what does the Bible say about being a member? Does God say anything about it? Is it a good idea, or is it just a God idea? And I thought about it. Next slide, please. Because a couple of things I want to talk about this morning. Sorry, go back one. Is it? What does it mean to be a member? Of course, go back one more. Okay, is it membership? That's the one. So I'm just going to talk about membership just for a couple of minutes. Okay, because I did a bit of study about membership, and one of the things that I kind of discovered about membership was this, according to the Bible at least, was that membership is characterized by God's pleasure. Now, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:18, it says, but God has set the members and each one of them in the body as it has pleased him. And we all know that Paul is comparing a local church to a body, isn't he? He's doing that. And one of the things that Paul says here in this particular verse, you may believe this, you may not believe it, but this is what the Bible says. You are here in this church, and you have chosen to commit yourself to this particular church, not because you've chosen to, but because God has chosen you to be here. And because you've been obedient to God, this is where you've stayed. Now, we've got a couple at the back here. Tay and Ange. Lovely couple, and they are an awesome blessing to this church. And I heard a little story about them. They told me the other day, they won't mind me sharing, but they were going to go to another church when they moved over here to Australia. And they were actually, it was all lined up for them to go over there, but they came here because this was in their local church, and they saw a skinny little kid playing drums over in the corner. It was John's son, David. Some of you may remember him. He's in the army, and he's no longer a skinny little kid, isn't he? He's a skinny big kid now. And Tay wanted to invest into this guy, David, and he did that. And one thing led to another, and God had a plan for them to be here. And I really believe that was God's preference that they would be here rather than somewhere else. And that's why they've stayed here, because they've been obedient to the call of God. There's a kid up there. He's not a kid, there's a bloke up the back here with a white. I like your shirt, Junior. Honest, mate, you look. It's nice to see you in a shirt in church, isn't it? It's from Target. It's lovely. I remember this guy got baptized. I baptized him myself. And I remember, like, you know, as we do whenever we baptize somebody here, somebody has a prophecy. And I remember, like, when this guy got baptized, he came to the church he was over the road sitting on the brick fence across the road, and he came in here. Remember that day, Junior? Junior came to our church through the mother's group. Remember that? He did. He did. He came to church through the mother's group. His wife's neighbor, she invited her to come here, Amber to come here, and Judy just tagged along, and I don't know what happened, but we started talking, then he came to church, and he had a white shirt on when he came to church for the first time, I remember. And he got baptized. But I remember when he was prophesied over, one of the things I remember specifically was that the lady who prophesied, she said, God has orchestrated for you to be here. It was God's preference for Junior to be here. Amen? And because he's been obedient to God, he stayed here. Isn't that good? That's what God talks about with membership. Here's another point that I think is important. Membership is characterized by God's placement. In 1 Corinthians 12:24, it says, "For our presentable members have no need, but God tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to the member having need." And the word tempered, in the Greek, it means you're combined, you're commingled, or you're assimilated. In other words, you are part of the mix. Isn't that right? Which means not everyone is going to be like you. And that makes a church even better, isn't it? When not everybody's like John. When not everybody is like me. Amen? And here's the last one. Membership is characterized, according to the Bible, according to my study, membership is characterized by God's proclamation. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, "And you are the body of Christ and members in part." And this is something that God makes really clear to us. We are the body of Christ and its members. That's what God intends for us. Now, as I thought about things, and I thought about different churches that I've sort of read about and how they define membership, I thought about you lot. As I said before, we've never had members in this church, well, at least since I've been here. And I thought about, well, what defines a member of, if I were to put a criteria together, just observing your commitment to this place, okay, how would I define a member of Cornerstone Church if it was up for me to decide, okay? Can you put up the next slide, please, Steve, okay? What does it mean to be a member of Cornerstone Church? Now, these definitions are based on what I've noticed about people in this church, okay? First slide. You will need to follow the Lord. If I were to define a member of Cornerstone Church, this would be the first thing I'll put up there. First of all, you love the Lord and you're willing to follow Him. That's fair enough, isn't it? First of all, you follow the Lord before you follow anybody else. Next slide, please. You're willing to turn up. That makes sense, doesn't it? You're a member of a church when you decide to commit your body to get in the car and go in on a regular basis. Yes, and on time. I'll forget that comment. Okay. But I think it's important. I mean, number three. I think this is important. And just by knowing a little bit about you guys and your commitment to this place, I mean, you're willing to tithe. Now, let me just say something about tithing. I was talking to a lady in Estonia. She was a friend of ours. She came over to our place for dinner, and she was at part of a church. And the pastor got up there, and he said, all the visitors, when it was time for the offering, the visitors, he would say to the visitors, okay, we are visitors. If you want to give something, you're welcome to, but if not, just pass the bag along. But those who are members, you know what you have to do. That was a bit naughty, wasn't it? You don't say that. And some churches, it is compulsory. Well, not by their actions and by their attitudes, they say, if you want to be a member, you have to tithe here. Now, let me say this. If I were to decide what was the criteria for membership in this church, I would say it's not compulsory to tithe. And this is, look, what are you clapping for, Zion? Okay. It's not compulsory to tithe because the Bible does not say, thou shalt tithe. Okay. But the Bible clearly encourages us to do that. Amen. And if you love your church, and if you consider yourself to be part of the body, of your local body, You will tithe anyway, because that's part of your commitment. Do I hear an amen to that? Anybody here believe in tithing? One or two? Raise your hand. It shows you're committed. It shows you're a committed member of a church. Tithing is not compulsory here. I'll make that very, very clear. But you'll be blessed if you do it. Amen? Here's the last one. It's the last one. You're willing to give your time and talents. Now, I had something here written down about that, but I'll just see what I said. Here it is. You want to serve the Lord, and that willingness will be expressed in you doing something to help here around the place. That's good English, isn't it? Now, we had a breakfast yesterday, and people who I know are committed to this church, they turned up here at 7 o'clock yesterday morning. Give them a huge round of applause. We had guys out there making bacon and eggs. We had guys doing this, that, and the other. We had some people out in the kitchen, ladies out in the kitchen. You know, they could have been home sleeping in because we had a late night here on Friday night. But, you know, we all turned up here at 7 o'clock in the morning to do the breakfast because we have a talent and we want to commit ourselves to being here. That's how you prove you remember. You give your time and your talents to your local church. Now, that can be expressed in a number of ways. Now, I've been committed to two churches. I've been a Christian for 30 years. I got saved way back in 1983. It's 33 years, actually, or 32 years. It's a long time. That's almost as old as John is, okay? But I've been a Christian for a long time. I've been committed to only two churches in that time. This one and the local church I was pastoring over there. So I dare say, I know a little bit about commitment, okay? I know a little bit about it. And there were times when I've been here, and there have been times when I was serving in the church over there. And one of the things that kind of defined that I wanted to serve in the church that I was in was that not so much that the pastor came to me and said, "Michael, I've got a job for you." That's happened from time to time. When I was 24, they took me into that room and they sat me down and they said, "Michael, we want you to be our next youth leader." And I said, "Oh, okay, yes, sir, thank you very much, sir." And I did what I was told, okay? But there have been other times when I've actually gone to the pastor. This happened in Estonia quite a lot, where I saw a need and I thought, "I want to contribute to this church. God has told me to do this. Leadership, is it okay if I do that?" And more often than not, the leadership would say, "Yes, you can do it, Michael." And something extra was added because you showed a bit of initiative. Now, in this church, in talking about times and talents, I will never, ever weaken someone's initiative. If you want to do something, I will encourage you to the hilt. As long as it's in God, of course. Isn't that right? As long as it's, you know, and it kind of, it adds to the flavor of the church and the vision of the church. But, you know, I will encourage you to show initiative, because that's what God does. He encourages us to show initiative. Isn't that right? And let me just say this, that just in being, I'm finished, but talking about membership, can you put up the next slide, please? And this is the final thing that I want to say. And I think this is very, very important. Now, none of us are official members as such. You're unofficial members because you're tithing. You're unofficial members because you're contributing with your time and talents. You're unofficial members because you're turning up. Amen? What was the other one? I can't remember. Yeah, you're following the Lord. Isn't that right? But I think one thing that's very, very important for a church member to do, you've got to understand, you've got to be willing to understand what the vision of the church is. Amen? Now, if somebody wants to be a member here in this church, I've just read out a big vision statement that what God spoke to me. We're all on the same page now. Amen? That's where I'd love to take the church. Where, you know, we're thriving not just inside the church, but we're thriving outside the church as well. That's where I want to take us as a group of people. Amen? And I really believe that, you know, if we're willing to sort of understand that and get that into our spirits, I really believe that makes us a member as well. Isn't that right? I really believe that. Now, you might be looking at me today, and you're saying, "Well, Michael, you've put all this stuff on us. You say if you're a member, you should be doing this, you should be doing that, blah, 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 blah." And I really think as a member, you should be turning up. I really believe that. Anybody agree with me on that point? You can't be a member and not just, forgive my English, for just rack off somewhere else. You know, you gotta be committed, don't you? I really believe as a member, you'll tithe. You'll do that naturally. I really believe that. I really believe as a member, you'll turn up. You want to give. It's all, as most of you are doing, you want to give something. You want to contribute something to the church. And as a leader, there are some things that I believe that I should be contributing to you guys. Now, if you want to be a member of this church, come and see me afterwards. Because I really believe there is something. Now, next slide, please. Because I really believe there is something in this particular verse that I want to share this morning. I shared it before. And you are the body of Christ, the members in part. God proclaims this to the Corinthians, and God proclaims it to us. You are members. You are the body of Christ and members in part. And I really believe there's something that is tangible. When you say, you know, publicly, I am a member of a church. Amen. Something gets put inside your spirit. Can we get the musicians up here, please? I had a friend, and his name was. You're gonna be really tongue-tied, okay? I'm gonna give you all a language lesson. I had a friend, and he had Polish roots. He was an Estonian, but he had a Polish surname, and his name was Peter Radzikowski. Can everyone say it with me? Peter Radzikowski. Radzikowski. He was a little fella, about this high. And he was a pastor in a church. And he got sent to the mission field to a city called Astrakhan. And he spent about 10 years working on the mission field, reaching Chechen refugees, you know, for the gospel, helping them, you know, in their poverty and giving them food and all that sort of thing. He did a lot of things for the Lord. But he was never really all that settled as a person. When you talked to him, you couldn't get a word in. You ever noticed people like that before? Okay. He just, you know, you try and talk to him, but he just wasn't settled in his spirit. And 3 years ago when I went back to see him, or not just him, but I went back to Estonia to see a few other people, and I met up with him. And he said, "Hey, Michael, I want you to come and preach in my church. I'll be made assistant pastor of a little church in a little seaside town called Harpsal." So I said, "Okay, I'll go along, and I'll preach for you if you want me to." And so I went out there and I preached, and he interpreted for me, going from Estonian to Russian. And something happened at that meeting that I think was very, very significant, especially for today. He got up there with his wife before he was asked, he got up with me to preach. He got up with his wife and he said, "I'm a member of this church. And I got the piece of paper to prove it." And he had this big, big smile on his face because he declared publicly, you know, "I am a member of this local church." And he was so happy. He'd been serving as a missionary, been serving as a pastor, but he'd never, ever been a member of a church before. Never, ever, ever. And I just looked at that bloke and I thought, yeah, he's settled now. He's settled in the spirit because he's chosen to commit himself to a church and he's not scared to say it publicly. Amen? Amen. He understands the vision. He went through a membership class, whatever he had to do, but you know, he chose to be a member. Chose to be a member. And he proclaimed it. I'm part of the body of Christ and one of its members. Amen? And I really believe as a church, we've been through a lot the last 12 months. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to work that one out. But I really believe one of the ways in which we can sort of implement this vision, you know, is to commit yourself to being here as a member, which you've all done on an unofficial basis. But what I'm asking today is that maybe you do it on an official basis. Come and talk to me and say, "Yeah, I want to understand the vision. I want to get a copy of it. I want to read through it. I want to understand it." And as you read through it and understand, have a look at it and think, "Yeah, I think that's a good vision. I'd like to commit myself to that." Then as a pastor, I will tell you what my responsibilities are to you. I'm not going to share them today because if you want to know more about this, you've got to come and see me and draw more out of me, okay? I'm just waving the carrot in front of I shouldn't say the donkey, okay, but I'm waving the carrot just to say, look, if you want to come with us on this journey, amen, come and see me and I will share more about it with you. Amen. And if finally you say, yeah, I want to be committed to this thing, we won't give you a certificate. We won't get you to sign anything. We won't even get your email address off you. Yes, we will, yeah. But we'll just give you a handshake and say, yeah, I'm committed to you because you guys are committed to us. Amen? That's all it is. Then we're members. Amen? Because we love our church. Amen? And we're committed to the vision of this place. Amen? God's a good God, isn't he? Amen? We're going to have communion now. And we're going to share.